This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's radio. Free.
Living on Purpose, Lynn here on Saturday, December 28th, 2013, and I'm with Dalva
Laminmäki.
Yes. Laminmäki.
It's hard to pronounce the Finnish.
And you say Finnis.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you are from Finland.
Yes, and I'm visiting now in Canada. I was here in spring, and now I'm back, and I just love Canada.
You said you're getting to know Toronto a bit more than Ottawa, and you wish you had more time in Ottawa.
Yeah, and I think I will get it, because it seems that I'll be coming back. I hope so. There is still things that I want to see and things that I need to talk with people.
Well, then it's a to-be-continued situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are a shaman?
No, I don't call myself.
Okay, sorry. But you're involved in shamanism somehow? And,
yeah.
And do you want to explain what that means? Yeah. It's sort of a mysterious term.
Yeah. The term shaman is something for me that I respect highly. And I don't believe that there is many shamans, real shamans in this world. So I respect the word, and I don't call myself as a shaman. I call myself as a tradition keeper. That's more like what I do. I study traditions and I teach them to people that want to hear about it. And that's the reason why I'm here in Canada, because there's lots of people that have Finnish heritage or Finno-Ugric heritage. And so that is something I can talk with people. And so that is more like my term, the tradition keeper.
Okay, that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right now we are outside on one of the milder days of the winter so far, and we're standing by the canal, and there's a congregation of beautiful bare-limbed trees all up and down the canal here, and it's a beautiful setting. Trees are a special thing for you, Dalva, and in fact, in a recent interview of yours that I listened to, you said that tree is your first language.
Yeah, I talk with trees, and I believe that they are alive. They are not just trees that we can use, and I think there is spirits inside them, and for me, they are my friends and my relatives, actually.
Yeah, I feel that way, too. I remember in a community I lived in BC, there was a forest that actually I had lived in, a squatter's cabin that had been built from the trees on the land. And I went back years later, the cabin had burned down in the meantime, and the forest had been taken down, and I could not even find the path that I used to walk on. And it was such a distinct absence. There was just really something huge that was taken away.
Yeah, and it's sad. People, many times they have big sorrows when they see that some special tree that you have seen for years have taken down, and they are really sad and upset about it. So
yeah,
I think there is special bonds that people have for trees.
Yeah. So when did you first notice that for yourself, and how has that changed your life?
When I was a child, we did have these special trees in my grandmother's yard, and my grandmother's mother has planted them into the yard, and my grandmother is feeling that the spirit of her mother is living in the tree. So that was the point that I started to think that, of course, when you are a child, you believe everything what you have told, but even later they are sacred to me, and I think they are my family trees. So that's the nearest place that I can be with my grandmother's mothers, because of course it was a long time ago and I haven't met her actually, so but I can be still near her when I see the tree.
Yeah, as human beings we get a little spoiled in communication style, like we expect to understand a language, to speak back and forth. Mm. I mean, so a tree would speak its own language. I mean, you could speak to the tree. How does the tree speak to you?
Well, I always see trees as like humans too. You have your legs, so the trees has the roots. You have your body, and the tree has the trunk. And you have your hands, so the tree has the branches.
Right.
So you are actually a tree.
Yeah.
So when you go near a tree, you can touch them. And often I even ask that, can I come near you? Like I would need to ask from you if I'm coming to touch you, or I have to ask your permission. And the trees is like, they are gentle, and I when the branches is moving, like in the summer, you can hear. If you just listen, you just need to stop and listen. You can hear the singing, actually, and the noises they are making. And
I know what you're talking about. Especially traveling across Canada the last couple of years, I found that whenever I saw trees that were waving in the wind, I would want to stop and listen and just be with them. Like, I was really drawn to that. I think it's in The Wizard of Oz that I think in that movie where there's trees in the forest that they're going through, and they're scary trees. Mm. They're obvious spirits, and they're kind of personified, and they're reaching out and a threat to the people going through. I think that's maybe not fair to trees to portray them like that. Do you think that there would be trees like that, or do you think that's not really fair?
In Finnish tradition, we have these stories and beliefs about that there is also the forest is element, so it has its own power. And if you don't respect the trees and the forest, it can be scary for you, because if the tree forest spirits don't like you, like when I was little, my grandmother did say to me that don't go and run and yell in the forest, because the spirits will make you walk like a circle, and then you are lost. So you have to behave in there. So there is a little bit truth about that also, that it can be, the forest can be a scary place. I think you should respect it more.
You're making a good point, and I think too it's respect and also intention.
Yeah.
How you're approaching the trees, and like you said, and even going up to touch a tree, let alone have an intention to cut it down, right?
So, of course, when I have been living in the forest, my place where I was living as a child, we have this little more like cabin, and it was just the forest. And when I was a child, it was scary when it was dark. And you start to hear the noises that the trees make.
Yeah.
And you can even sometimes, when you look, you can see faces on the trees. It was like that. But old times, it was a real belief that the spirit is in the tree. So you have to be respectful.
There was a place in one of the communities where I lived out west where it was just a beautiful walk through the trees to the lake. Mm. And one time I was down there, I'd been experimenting with images of trees, photographing them and then turning the negatives backwards to put the pairs of photos together and see the different patterns that emerged. I realized that if you got some lines of the branches going up at angles out of the photo frame, that then putting it together would make some neat images. So this one photo I took, when I looked at it afterwards, it was just a random photo of these branches in a certain lines. And there was this distinct little face in there that was so clear. It was like, oh my, you know, like, where did you come from? It's magical, isn't it?
Yeah, it's magical. And like you are taking photos, so you are making like also art about the natures and looking for your connection to trees and the nature, and like you give excellent example how you can be related. You can look what the nature is and what is your way. Somebody go and hug the tree, somebody do art like taking photos, or you can just sit there or whatever, you walk. And you can have a different kind of ways to feel.
A friend of mine here in Ottawa, I'm just remembering that he said, you know how you can walk around and maybe you see a flower or a tree or something in nature and you say, oh, you are so beautiful. Look at your branches, look at your leaves, you know, look at the beautiful color. And he suggested to say how beautiful we are. Because then we're including ourselves in the creation and in the beauty, rather than separating, I'm here, you're there, and making it we, like making it together, we are beautiful. And I found that's a really interesting shift to make.
Yeah, and that's real. And if you look traditional ecological knowledge, I don't know how to put it otherwise, but tradition, knowledge, and ecological, then we are all together.
Right.
Then there is the understanding of the nature, and also to take care of the nature, take care of the trees, take care of everything. because you start to feel that it's you, and then the nature is in you. So of course you don't want to destroy that. And all the traditions keep that knowledge, how you were together with the nature, and you weren't separate.
Mm-hmm.
But today, of course, we just use the nature, and not anymore. We don't feel that it's part of us. It's something material, and we can use it. And that is not the healthy way to live on.
The way that we met was through Greg McDougall here in Ottawa, and he recently met in Toronto with you and Hazel.
Hazel Pelkoski, yes.
Yeah, and you were just telling me about the interesting experience you had there with her.
Yeah, so there was this idea to paint. Hazel Pelkoski is an artist, painter. I just do the drumming because I have this vision that I would drum and the painter would paint, and to explore that, can we go to the same vision? Can we work together? And can the painter see what I see? And it was amazing experience because she was actually painting my visions. And we didn't talk, I didn't open my eyes, and she was painting the pictures. And that was something that was my question. Can we go through art, through music, anything? If we are creative, can we go to the same place? And I think that everybody can go. If you're doing music, if you are painting, if you are doing it like I do, drum journeys, we call them drumming journeys, that we drum and we see visions. But I think painters are doing that too, and people that are creative.
That must have been a very exciting experience for both of you. Yeah. I think that people can really benefit from just taking a walk in a forest or even along the canal here in Ottawa. We have such beautiful veins, arteries through the city of green space and nature. And so it's easy to go out and experience that, and we can become more grounded and feel more connected.
Yeah, and the snow is beautiful.
Snow is beautiful.
The element of northern. I was just in the evening thinking the snow and what is the message of the snow. And for me, snow is saying that you can rest, slow down, rest. And the winter is putting this white blanket over the nature so the nature can rest. And in the spring, when the snow melts down, so everything comes back and start to grow. And so it's important to have the winter.
Yeah, and the winter, like you say, to slow down, even when you're walking somewhere, you need to be present to be aware of where your feet are going and staying on your feet.
Yeah, it can be slippery.
Yeah.
And about the snow, so I just love it, of course. I'm a Finn, so I love it. And the terrible thing for us, they don't have snow in South Finland now. Oh. And that has been amazing. They have +5 degrees and rain. And
wow.
And I'm here and there is snow. So I'm happy that I'm here at the moment.
Have you been to Thunder Bay?
Yes, I was there in the spring.
Oh, good. Yeah, because that's a very strong Finn community.
Yeah.
And the saunas and everything.
Yeah, I just love it. And I did meet so amazing people Thunder Bay. So
great. Delva, it's been a real pleasure to meet you. Do you have a little living on purpose idea that you could share with us?
Enjoy the snow. Don't take it as a bad thing. The cold weather is just another element, and the snow is beautiful. So enjoy it when you have it.
Thank you.
Thank you.